Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the BlackRock Property Fund conference call. My name is Amicia, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session toward the end of the conference. To queue up in advance, please press star followed by one. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. David Bindy. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the BlackRock Property teleconference. My name is David Bindy, the National Sales Manager, and I'll be your host today. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to dial in and join us for the call today, whose purpose is to really just provide some further update on some developments with regards to our property fund range. And this is following an email that was sent out to you as the financial advisors of the fund back on Thursday, the 8th of December. We will begin with Paul Healey, who is the head of property for BlackRock Australia, who will provide an overview of the recent developments in our property fund range and provide some insights to our thinking. We'll then open up the call to any questions. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Paul Healey. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. My talk will be relatively brief, and we are very interested in receiving some questions from you today. The reason for this conference call is, as David mentioned, we communicated with the investment community via email and what will be letter this week in relation to some thinking that we are embarking upon here at BlackRock to provide additional liquidity to investors who may have a desire for that. And as a result of our thinking, we decided it was appropriate to cease receiving applications into our funds from existing and or new investors. So that's the reason why this call has been arranged. We will continue to accept applications via dividend reinvestment plans from quarterly distributions. But other than that, while we are conducting this review, we felt it was appropriate to cease receiving further applications or new applications. The message I'd like to begin with is it's very much business as usual in the property business at BlackRock. We have a deep, established team of professionals who are focused on continuing to deliver the objectives of the fund, that being a geographically and sectorally diversified portfolio of real estate assets with the aim of providing income and long-term growth. And to date, we continue to do that. We are one of the few managers that has continued to pay distributions through all periods of the cycle. Our quarterly distributions have been maintained. Our gearing is modest at 28%. And we have our finance set through to the 30th of June 2014. And the margin of the debt is 6.2%. It floats, and therefore it's able to benefit from cuts in interest rates. And we have our line drawn at the moment to about $138 million. Since the funds went non-liquid, we have obviously been conscious of investors' potential needs for liquidity, and we've conducted two withdrawal offers in 2010 and 2011, providing investors a total sum of $35 million to be able to be paid back to them. And that $35 million has been funded by a number of asset sales that have been conducted in a very selective manner. The asset sales we've conducted amount to 11 assets over the last 3 years. We've managed to sell $180 million of assets at an average 0.99% discount to book. So we've managed through extremely volatile times to get extremely close to book value. And our aim is to continue to absolutely safeguard investors' interests here. Of those proceeds, 180 million, some of them was used to retire debt. Others were used to fund essential capital expenditure within the portfolio. And the balance was used to pay the two withdrawal offers. We've recently successfully conducted the last of those asset sales at book value, and we have roughly $50-odd million in cash today in the funds. The total portfolio value is about $415 million, and it's sectorally and geographically diversified across the Eastern Seaboard of Australia and is in very good shape. So what we're doing is we've been out to a selected panel of investment banks, global investment banks, and global real estate agents, and invited submissions from those parties to give us some advice on how additional liquidity may be obtained. The definition of liquidity is contained in the Corporations Act. And the fund is non-liquid because at the moment, we, BlackRock, governed by the corporation's law, are unable to sell 80% of the assets at fair market value within the period prescribed in the Constitution, that being 18 months. Our liquidity has climbed, and we're currently close to 70%, but sufficiently far away from the 80% hurdle to be able to declare the funds liquid, which would enable investors to be able to lodge their redemption requests and they would be treated sequentially in full. So mindful of our investors' patience in waiting for us to return the funds to liquidity, the property investment team, together with the BlackRock Australia board, are examining this enhanced liquidity mechanism. Submissions have been received and are being considered by us, and I can provide you with no further advice other than we are looking at proposals to either recapitalize the business, to restructure it, or to liquidate all or part of the portfolio to be able to repay investors back. That is the essence of what I wished to convey to you today. I think now I'd like to turn it over to questions, please, and comments. So at this point, we'll hand back to the moderator, and if we can take the call for questions, please.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If your question has been answered or you would like to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star followed by one to begin. Again, as a reminder, please press star followed by one to submit a question. And the first question comes from the line of Jane Williams. Please proceed.
Hello. Thanks again today for this teleconference. Just wanted to understand, while this review is taking place, what level of income can investors in the fund expect from their distribution?
About 6.25%.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Gary Lucas. Please proceed.
Hello. Thanks for the update. I'm just inquiring as to why you won't do what Challenger did, which was clean up all the small balances. I'm fully aware of the requirement for all investors to be treated equally. The Challenger are able to overcome this. I think they held some meetings, and it was a terrific outcome that they were able to initially pay out everybody with a balance of less than 10,000, and they're now doing it again for those people with 4,000 or less, and it makes our job a lot easier at this end. I'm just wondering, I've suggested this before to BlackRock with negative responses, just wondering what your current view is on that.
Obviously, we're extremely sympathetic to investors who are wishing to see small balances tidied up. The view of the House here is that all investors must be treated equally, and if we were to clear small balances, it would be at the expense of the larger shareholders. Obviously, by the withdrawal offer, the two withdrawal offers that have been made, investors have been able to participate in those and have been pro-rated, and I understand, therefore, that it's a more somewhat annoying small balance, a smaller balance that's left. But our view is that everybody needs to be treated equally, and hence the reason not to clear small balances.
Okay, thank you. I don't agree with it, but thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Patrick Bennett. Please proceed.
Hi, Paul. I haven't talked to you for a while. Are there any other asset sales in the pipeline?
There are three assets that we put on the market publicly. We're negotiating on one other asset is in the process of having a very significant lease renewal signed off on, which will significantly enhance the profile of the building and therefore the saleability of it. And the other asset, the third asset, sits in a market which at the moment is not keenly bid for. So we continue along that road, but are very conscious of only executing at very close to, if not book. The most recent transaction, which was executed last week and settled on Thursday, was a half share of 369 Ann Street in Brisbane, where we sold out at book. So three assets on the market, but no acceptable offer at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
And the next question comes from the line of Chris Petropoulos. Please proceed.
Hello, Paul. Well done on selling the assets at sort of 99 cents to NTA. That was a good result. In terms of various ways of, solving the liquidity problem, what about listing the asset, listing the fund? How far down that track have you gone, and what are the issues around that?
Okay. We have certainly examined listing. The REIT sector, as everybody will be painfully aware, has been savagely treated through this global financial crisis. And what is very apparent is that if you're to be a successful REIT, you have to have scale. Scale is seen to be above $1 billion. So with the BlackRock Property Trust being at sort of circa $500 million, we don't have that scale. Secondly, the REIT sector is trading at quite a significant discount to its asset backing. We've been able to demonstrate by an orderly asset sale program, we've got very, very close to book. If we were to list this fund, it would trade at a premium of potential, a discount of potentially 20 to 25%, thereby destroying shareholder value. And that's the reason we haven't gone that way.
And the next question comes from the line of David Barber. Please proceed.
Hi, Paul. David Barber speaking. Paul, there's a number of illiquid assets in the portfolio, including the Central Direct Property Fund. How are you dealing with those particular assets at this point in time?
Sure. Well, we have a liquidity test. Each quarter, we rigorously review each asset and describe it as liquid or non-liquid. It is a subjective test, but it is very carefully thought through. And at the moment, roughly 30% of the assets are deemed to be non-liquid. The two unlisted investments that we hold are the Farm Villages Group and Chapara, and they are unlisted investments that we hold. Chapara is currently yielding us 9% and sits there. We're very comfortable with it. It was very close to being sold to Blackstone, who pulled out at the last minute. And we have a situation where we own a proportionate share of 15% of the management company. So if we were to exit that, we would try and maximize the value by getting paid for the management company. The RPG group is sort of tied up in sort of major corporate restructuring. and therefore sits there as a non-liquid asset. As most people will be aware, Centro has now successfully come through its recapitalization process and is now trading as a listed REIT. And we will be cashed out. We have joined a book build to be cashed out in our holding over the next 2 months. What we're wishing to do is to try and maximize value rather than disposing of a stock at an early stage in its trading life. And therefore, we will be getting cashed out. So the only unlisted holdings we have, as I mentioned, are Japara and RBG. All of the other buildings are freehold titles, with the exception of our Tambra building, which is a leasehold title. And historically, we've been trying to trade out of assets, being very cautious of obtaining book, which we've done.
Thanks, Paul.
And there are no audio questions at this time.
Okay. In light of the fact that there's no more questions, based on the options that Paul spoke about with regards to recapitalisation, restructuring, or liquidating part or all of the portfolio, given we have you as interested advisors on the line here, does anyone wish to offer up any particular opinions or priorities on any of those particular views? Because this call is about us sharing information with you as to our thoughts, but also a chance for us to solicit and get feedback from yourselves as to your opinions and views. So we might open up to the moderator for that, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, you can press star followed by one. Okay, and the next question comes from the line of David Barber. Please proceed.
Paul, could you explain to me how the recap or restructure work and what sort of dilution issues would be involved with that type of process?
I can't give you an answer for that because the submissions literally only arrived last night. So at the risk of going too early, but in the interest of over-communicating, we wanted to have this dialogue with everybody, but I realised that maybe we're not able to fully answer, and I can't answer that question. Certainly, at a future date, probably early in January, we'll be in a position to give advice as to what we're proposing to go and do, but I can't tell you what that is. That's what we've sought external advice from.
And who is that from, Paul?
I'm not able to say who the parties are who we've gone to, but they are global investment banks and global real estate agencies. So we'll ensure that the advice that we're receiving is from the very best advisors around the world. Just to give you an idea of what recapitalization may mean, it could mean that we have an investor who comes into the fund and provides a large amount of equity, potentially, and that could be used to redeploy funds. But it's a very open blank sheet of paper. We've given the advisors the ability to sort of think laterally and come up with a solution. I mean, we have been pursuing a very orderly liquidity plan. The liquidity plan has gone very well, other than we're perhaps running a little bit slower than some of our investors may wish to be able to declare the fund liquid. Had we been able to execute on the three assets that are currently on the market, we would probably have been able to declare the fund liquid. So it's in the absence of being able to declare it that we're seeking now an alternative solution. I'd like to give investors comfort that everything will be exceptionally closely scrutinized, and we will only act in the absolute best interests of our clients.
Thank you, Paul.
And the next question comes from the line of Chris Corrales. Please proceed.
In terms of feedback, I guess my feedback is, yes, it's sort of been well managed to date, Paul, in terms of the asset sales. But I would say that 2012, there's got to be something that goes up to unit holders who are ultimately the owners of the assets to make a decision based on the various options that you sort of investigate. I think you've done a great job to date, but you know, it has been a few years now, and I think ultimately the unit holders have to make the decision once they've sort of got full information. So in terms of a recommendation, I'd just be sort of suggesting that, you know, something needs to go to unit holders so that then they have a vote and everyone can move forward from there.
Just in answer to that, there are certain requirements under the law that will, if we go that route, require a unit holder vote. There may be alternative solutions that don't require a unit holder vote. We will act within the confines of the law, but I do note your comments.
Thanks.
And there are no questions at this time.
Okay, well, thank you. We will finish up there. So I'd like to thank you all for dialing in. Hopefully Paul's able to provide to you a bit of insight within the limits of what he can as to the motivation for why we've done what we've done with the recent communication. We do empathise with the situation for clients, particularly those small balance clients, that it has an impact on their cash flow. It has an impact on you as financial advisors with the administration, impact on your business. So, you know, we are very mindful of that. This latest move is all about trying to return liquidity to the portfolio in the best manner for the asset valuation as well as unit holders. So, you know, please take that as our primary motive for the fund. As always, if you do have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact your account manager. And if you do have any further queries, email or phone to those account managers or myself. So again, thank you very much for taking the time to dial in today. We do appreciate your support, and we will be in contact through the early part of 2012 to provide to you the next steps with regards to the movements. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect.